And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. Oh, my mic seems to be awfully high. My co-host today is Dave Allen, and we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Wednesday, March 11th, 2020. Good afternoon, Dave.
Melody, happy, hellacious, holy hump day.
Boy, I'll tell you what a day it has been in the paper markets once again. And boy, I'm sure glad I don't own any paper investments. And, you know, it's just another bloodbath today in the markets. Promises as usual from government and the Federal Reserve. More promises, more money, more bailouts. Oh, I'm sorry. They're not going to call it bailouts, ladies and gentlemen. I think they're going to call it protection. They want to protect the airlines. They want to protect the cruise lines. They want to protect. It's not bailouts now. No. So we're back to words matter. But I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? Do you think people are really that ignorant to fall for that? And I guess many are. Oh, it's not a bailout. They're protecting the economy. They're protecting our jobs. No, it's a bailout. That's not acceptable, but protecting something is. So anyway, don't get me started. We have Wendy Wilson joining us for this first segment of the program. Then we're going to dig a little bit deeper into the paper markets, what's going on with the you know, with the promises. The Fed, again, is injecting more money into the repo markets. It's only up to $175 billion. I guess $150 wasn't enough, so they got to go $175 billion now into these repo markets, extending the length of time even longer, and even considering a year on some instances. So let me go ahead and get with the market report so we can see what Wendy's going to be talking about today. And we probably know, but let's see, gold today. Now, it was really weird because after the Fed came out and said they were going to inject another $25 billion, add that to the $150 billion, gold dropped. It was right before 3 o'clock Eastern time. And that's when they either make the announcements before the closing, an hour. So, you know, if they pump money in, they can, you know, maybe turn it around. And I think that's what they were expecting. Or at 4 o'clock. These are when these announcements are made to, you know, so if they want it to affect the markets to the positive, it'll work. Or if they don't want it to affect the markets, they'll wait till 4. We did have 1672 for the high. It was positive most of the morning. And, you know, then it started winding itself down. And then when they made that statement, it dropped. So we're looking right now in the New York spot price aftermarket, 11 bucks to the downside. It is reversing itself. It's heading back up. 1639. Silver is down 14 cents at 1682. Platinum was down 6 at 870, and palladium was down 127 at 2341. And the USDX today, and that should be much, much lower with everything that's going on, but that's what they're holding. That's what they're trying to keep from falling, 96.52, down 0.03. Crude oil was down another $1.55 at 32.81. And then at the same time that the Fed came out a little bit at 3 o'clock at first, the initial reaction in the paper markets is it went down to 1,600 to the negative. They turned it around somewhat right now, and it looks like I'm sure we'll see a little bit of a change here. 1,465 to the downside, 5.85% on the Dow, 23,553. The NASDAQ was down 4.70%. That equals 392 points at 7,952. The S&P down 4.89%. That's 140 points at 2,741. I don't believe anything was, you know, some things were spared a little bit, but most everything was to the downside. And let's see, the 10-year yield, that popped up a little bit, but it's still below the 1%, 0.82. and that was up 0.07. You had your Asian markets. Japan was down the most, a little over 2.25%. London down, Germany down, Hong Kong down. Most of all your foreign markets were in the negative overnight. And, you know, cryptocurrencies aren't doing any better. And so I'm glad for those of you who went there for a safe haven. How safe do you feel today? So 1-800-375-4188. We're going to talk a little bit of a different way to protect your money. And, of course, that's going to be about gold and silver. But first, I'd like to welcome Wendy Wilson to the program from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. And hello, Dave.
Hi there.
Boy, am I glad you helped me get out of securities, the paper assets last year, Melody.
That's right. You get
holy
out of the
moly.
Time.
I surely did.
Yep.
So I hope people are listening out there. Now is the time. All right. Well, I thought we'd talk about the sell lines because you may have wondered, you know, how did aborted fetus cells get into vaccine making? I often wondered that, you know. Why did they just wake up one day and say, oh, let's use human cells, you know, instead of using what they've been using? So we're going to talk about that because we got lots of reports coming out. And in every election year, if you notice, there's some sort of pandemic going on, right? So vaccines are usually part of the scenario, and this Canora virus is really no exception. So there are some rumors flying around that this Canora virus will have a chip included, courtesy of the Bill Gates Foundation. Now, I haven't been able to confirm that, but it's a rumor. Now, the media is working extra hard, as you know, promoting this disease. Now, it is a real disease, but they're promoting it as if it were worse than the Black Plague. It has a lower RO factor, which is your infectious transmissibility factor. It's lower than measles. So we hear from politicians, you know, the medical science is racing to manufacture this vaccine. What do you suppose is going to be in it? There is undisputed evidence that vaccine manufacturers do include a list of ingredients that really have no place in any treatment. So we're going to look into it, as disgusting as it may be. Global vaccine research in 2018, there was this recorded testimony by Dr. Stanley Plotkin. He was in a Michigan court, and he revealed that the sponsorship he was involved in regarding vaccine development, he says, is a global one, and it's promoted to try to, obviously, to make us all well and defeat disease. But Dr. Plotkin has stated he was flown all over the world, sponsored by universities, the Bill Gates Foundation, and also the drug companies like Sanofi Pasteur in France. And he is stating he has made several trips even to Washington, D.C. regarding vaccines. So what he was admitting to is the use of fetal tissue is often used in vaccine testing and manufacturing. And he states the industry involved in the vaccines uses the following tissues from aborted children. They also are making DNA vaccines with this type of ingredient. They use the lungs, the pituitary gland, the skin, the kidney, the spleen, the heart, and the tongue in a lot of these vaccines today. So in the testimony in the Michigan court, Dr. Plotkin is stating their new vaccine inventions were tested for the purpose of scientific studies, and they tested them on people they considered society's rejects. So they were testing these vaccines on orphans, the mentally handicapped, and mothers with their babies in prison. Isn't that shocking?
Yes.
It's sad. Well, Dr. Plotkin states that this type of procedure was common in the 1960s, and this is when they started using human cells and vaccines, but he says he's changed his mind on who they should be testing vaccines on. But there's lots of questions. What is the purpose of using human DNA cell lines in vaccines, right? Scientists have voiced their concern that such a process could promote cancer in the vaccine recipients. Also, there's this book called The Vaccine Race, published in 2017 by Viking, and it suggested that the vaccine industry started looking to human tissue ingredients while researching cellular aging in the 1950s and 60s. They go on to state that Dr. Leonard Hayflick seems to be the mastermind behind opening this door to this new field of study in the process of inventing many new vaccines, such as your rubella, rotavirus, and rabies vaccines. Therefore, the vaccine serums of the 50s and 60s were completely different from the vaccine serums we have today. So the use of infant cells to make vaccines is evolving. So if you will find infant cells in the rubella or your MMR vaccine, your polio vaccine, chickenpox and shingles vaccines, your hepatitis A, and the new version of the rabies vaccine. Now, we have experienced a new form of measles from vaccinated children, which scientists and physicians in the United States and Canada were saying is not a natural strain. So we have some real serious concerns. What's going on? And one reason cells, they were wanting to go to human cells is because when they use cells to grow or incubate disease pathogens on the tissue for their vaccine manufacturing, that process is pretty expensive to incubate, and it requires fresh organs. They usually use animals, monkeys or dogs. So the drug industry was wanting to find a less expensive and more efficient way to grow pathogens without having an animal kennel on their premises. So they started buying cells from other labs in 1958, and they had some trouble with some of the cell lines that they were causing cancer, because if you get cell lines that have viruses in them, it can promote cancer in the vaccine recipient. So they started buying cells from other labs, and they had some trouble. And in order to avoid the cancer issue, their choices became very limited. Therefore, they started experimenting with cells from human placentas. And this they used human cells there to actually grow two types of cell lines to see if they could continuously grow the cells in the lab and have a continuous supply. And this is where using human cells in vaccines and this research began. However, they were still trying to splice in animal cells, and this was also kicking up the cancer risk. So they had this brainstorm idea, let's use tissue from an unborn baby because it's protected while in the womb from outside pathogens, that the fetus tissue would be the cleanest source for cells. So keep in mind, in the 50s, when this was going on, that type of research was considered highly illegal. So the medical industry got around the legal problem by calling the experiments therapeutic abortions, and the tissue would be discarded as human waste, and then the tissue was then legal to use, but in a limited situation. So it's kind of shocking that the medical literature refers to this type of research using aborted fetus cells as elegant experiments. Wow, elegant. Well, the Children's Hospitals of Philadelphia stated this in April 2017. They said Dr. Hilary Koprowski worked on a version of the polio vaccine grown in fetal cells to determine the safety of the vaccine before they gave it to babies. And Dr. Stanley Plotkin, who we mentioned, was the co-inventor of the vaccines using human cells from fetuses, and they designed rubella, rotavirus, and rabies shots from this. This was the first line of human cell vaccines. So the use of the human fetal cells in injected vaccines has been part of the vaccine industry for decades. We just haven't known about it. We weren't aware until just recently. So the drug industry considers using the fetal cells as the cell line in vaccines as the, quote, gold standard. Okay? So they have over 20 cell lines of fetal cells now. And the DNA and the RNA are contained in these cells, and it offers great versatility in how the vaccine is going to react. Here's a quote again from Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. They say, a single set of lungs from an aborted fetus after 3 or 4 months of gestation are large enough to dissect and create many amples of cells, about 10 million cells, in the lab, and they can be manipulated to produce as many as 10 sextillion types of cells. So I got to thinking to myself, how many cells does it take to make a vaccine, right? Well, apparently 10 million cells is what it takes, which makes enough vaccine for 40 countries. Okay. And the cells from one aborted fetus tend to be shared with labs all around the world, And guess what? They're usually WHO or World Health Organization labs that are on four continents. And we're told they use the cells to detect disease in hospital patients. Now, you have to wonder, now, what's in the hospital tests? If they're using aborted fetus cells for that. I know. So the vaccines of the future, we're now aware the vaccines today and the vaccines of the future will contain the human cell lines in them. With such an ingredient, any vaccine can actually cause any nationality significant harm if the vaccine is designed to do so. What do I mean by that? Well, they can tweak the cell line DNA, and any vaccine can actually become a euthanasia device.
What?
Okay, yep, because this Conora virus 19 seems to bind to certain food groups and makes the victim feel worse. So it likes to bind to rice, and this is why the Asian people had such a problem with it. Yep. So they can do that. They can actually design these things. I think I did a show with you a while back where back in the 1700s and 1800s, the guy that was kind of experimenting with serums to see if they could make an unallergic person allergic to certain things like eggs or wheat or grass, and he did it through vaccine injections.
Hmm.
So they can do a lot of things with the injection form of serums. And this would also explain why the reports from China was that 82% of the victims were male between the ages of 30 and 50. I find that odd.
Yeah, but why are they saying that, it's worse for those? Well, you're talking about the coronavirus, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So why are they saying the people over 60, 65?
Yeah, why are they saying
that? Is that a threat?
Mm-hmm. I've heard reports from doctors saying the virus is mild. It's just a problem with people that have a low immune system function and are malnourished. So,
and don't eat rice.
Right, and people in China are under dictatorship, and if that doesn't mess with your head and your immune system, I don't know what does, because, you're under a dictatorial regime. So you already got a suppressed immune system, and you're probably feeling kind of low emotionally. So that does lower immune system function. So
or is it any different, though, around the world to some degree?
Well, I'd rather support my natural immune function, thanks, with the herbs God says are here for our service and healing. So that's what I do. And if you can boost your immune system, you have a higher resistance to these pathogens. So my phone's been blowing up over here. 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. 20% off spring sale. Don't forget. Gotta go.
Thanks, Wendy.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you next week, and we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you go to the radio page and the newsletter page. Sign up. You can listen to these programs live at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Gold is still holding at that 1639 level. Silver 1683. And again, for those of you who might have missed the beginning of the program, and for those of you who have paper investments still, the Dow was down 5.86, the NASDAQ was down 4.70, and the S&P was down 4.89%. So that has encouraged all types of bankers and oil companies and everything else to head into the White House, and I'm sure there will be some sort of a economic pact, I guess, or some sort of relief announced either tomorrow or Friday. I would think they would do it tomorrow. I've heard some chatter that it's supposed to be Friday, but I don't know. I can't imagine that they would offer this information over the weekend. Of course, it could calm the markets over the weekend, so we don't open up Monday with a 2,000-point drop like we did this week. So they are planning on offset the economic impacts from the virus, and they want to, with aid to workers and businesses, that's going to pump hundreds of billions of dollars into the U.S. economy. This was all from Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin. He told lawmakers today. He said the White House is examining tax relief measures. And I guess, Dave, that was... I saw some of those measures that they were going to do. Do you recall what they were?
Well, they varied. It's hard to say. I mean, I've seen anything from a 2% reduction in the payroll tax to taking it all the way down to zero. In terms of timing, initially it was through sometime this summer, and then Trump announced he wanted any changes like that to go through at least the end of November. Which, of course, would get them through the election. So it's all very speculative. I mean, Congress, and we'll talk about this later in the program, Congress has not given any indication in both parties that, they're excited about some of the suggestions that the administration has offered right now, particularly the payroll tax reduction. They want something, I think, more targeted. So I think the jury is out. And I agree with you, though. Certainly from a tactical standpoint, it'd be great for all the markets if something could be announced on Friday going into the weekend. But I'm sort of skeptical that there's going to be the wherewithal between the parties to get it done that quickly. Hopefully I'm wrong.
Well, the whole thing of it is, again, Dave, we talked about heading into a recession for how long? We talked about the inverted treasury yields for how long, telling everybody these are all signs. When the repos started doing back in September, there's another sign. There's signs and signs and signs. And we've been telling everybody this is more about the foundation. This isn't all about the virus and the impact. I mean, this virus is just sort of a, you know, that dropped another, that black swan from left field that comes that you're not expecting it. We were heading in this direction to begin with. We have our foundation of our economy is not as strong as what we were told for how long. We didn't have the strongest economy in the history of the United States. And now it's all unwinding.
Well, you got former Fed Vice Chair Alan Blinder, who said today that we're probably already in recession. A fear, he calls it a fear-induced slowdown from the coronavirus. And you know, he said he wouldn't be surprised one bit if, when we look back at the data in a couple of months, it'll be decided that the recession started this month. All told, he says that he believes there's a 90% chance that we're in recession or we'll be in one imminently.
And we've been saying, well, I mean, we've been saying it basically for 25 years because when, you know, when I got into it, but it's happened sooner than that, and it comes all back to our monetary policy and all the various programs they created after each of these crashes. And you have all these bailouts or protections to these multinational corporations. You know, they want to, Mnuchin, and then we can move on. Mnuchin talked about... excuse me here, ladies and gentlemen. Mnuchin talked about there's a large number of workers that are going to be required to self-quarantine. He says they think it's appropriate for government to pick up those costs. Really? He says this is a little bit like a hurricane. They want to use direct bank deposits. They want to use direct bank deposits or debit cards to give workers money, or reimbursing companies who keep paying employees forced to stay home. The number of U.S. corona cases, of course, have risen steadily. That's not what I wanted to talk about. The department, Treasury Department, will recommend that President Donald Trump delay the April 15th income tax filing deadline for individuals and small to mid-sized businesses, Mnuchin said, saying that could keep $200 billion in the economy. Who's going to pay the bills? They need that $200 billion. He says, we're not looking to do that for the rich people and big corporations, but for virtually all Americans other than the super rich. That's politics. That's election year jabber. And I'm sorry. You know, it just irritated me.
Come on, Melody.
I mean, That's what the other side says.
Look.
That's what Bernie Sanders says.
But drop in the bucket. We'll just print a little bit more.
I know.
And it's, you know.
Travel-related industries, he said, are going to be the hardest hit and face a similar situation to after September 11. You know, and they always, you know, this whole thing that Mnuchin said today, it was all about the election. They always bring in September 11. You know, airlines, hotels, cruise lines. He says those are the sectors most impacted. He said Trump felt strongly that the U.S. companies need to be protected but not bailed out. What's the difference? What's the difference?
Well, it goes to show just how far we've come as a in terms of the politics of the situation, that no one is talking about the rising debt and its impact. Now, you know, we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the program as well. We have time. But there's certainly tremendous potential impacts that could make this bad situation a lot worse. And we're on the cusp. And some might say that so many American corporations right now are just hanging on to a branch over the side of the cliff. But anyway.
And you're absolutely correct. And, you know, he goes on and talks about that they wanted to make this announcement, hopefully, the stimulus plan. What's a stimulus plan? It's a bailout plan. It's quantitative easing. Who do you think's buying the treasuries now? Who do you think is, I'll guarantee, it's the Fed. Mnuchin says, oh, we're going to get through this. He's confident a year from now the U.S. economy will be in a very good shape. Really? How's that going to work? Trillions of dollars are being lost. Yesterday we talked about, I couldn't believe this headline, Dave. I don't know if I can find it here quick. But it was about construction workers. Yesterday we talked about farmers committing suicide at extreme rates. This was construction workers. And it's just like, really? And so a lot of weird things are going on, and I don't think this is going to be. We are in a recession. I mean, the government's always late to the recession of announcing it. You know, because they don't want anybody to make decisions. All day long, all I heard on mainstream media, financial programs, don't panic. Don't pull your mark money out. Stay there. Long term. Protect yourselves, ladies and gentlemen. Protect your hard-earned money. I mean, we don't know when this is going to... I mean, and I'm thinking separate from the virus. I'm not looking at this as the virus. This certainly was the catalyst, probably, most likely, to bring it to the forefront. But we were already beginning to crater. And yeah, it's amazing. They have incredible power and ability to change things and to make things around. It's global. They get global markets. I think we're going to talk about that, too, if I ever move on, Dave, as how various countries around the world have already cut their rates and are already doing things. It's all synchronized. It was synchronized to the upside. Now that it crashed, they're going to try to synchronize it once again. But how many times can you synchronize and make things go up that doesn't belong there? That isn't meant to be. You know, it's kind of like one of those, you blow up those balloons to keep the ball up in the air. Eventually, you run out of air. You run out of capacity to keep it up there. You watch that ball drop a little bit, you throw some more air in there and it pumps back up. I think you know what I'm talking about. Do you, Dave? Do you remember what I'm, you know, if you ever had to blow into a machine that has that little ball and it goes up and, you know, it flutters a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what they've done. Now they're out of air. What would have happened if the Federal Reserve hadn't increased rates? Everybody know there wouldn't have been anything to cut. And I think that's exactly why the rate cuts really aren't doing anything. Well, they might have a knee-jerk reaction here and there, but they're not sustaining any credibility on the rate cuts. So he'll do another one here when they have their meeting next week, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So then what are they going to do? But anyway, so, you know, stay calm. Yeah, stay calm. But get your money out. We're not financial planners, but I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to figure out. And what people don't understand, Dave, get your money out and protect it. You can always go back in. That's what I don't get. How simple is that? Get it out. Protect it, and then you can put it back in when things are the right time to buy at the real lows. We had CPI rises in February. Consumer prices. The Labor Department said this morning that the CPI rose 0.1%. That was matching January's gain. Gee, rising food and accommodation costs offset the cheaper gasoline. Butch yesterday said he bought gasoline at $1.99. In the 12 months through February, the CPI rose 2.3%. That followed a 2.5% jump in January, and that was the biggest year-over-year gain since October 2018. And everybody thought, all the smart economists thought that it would be unchanged. Financial markets expect the Federal Reserve again to, as I just said, cut rates again next week. We know that they implemented a 50 basis point emergency rate cut last week. So we'll have to see how that works. Overseas, as I mentioned, the Bank of England, they cut its main rate by 50 basis points this morning.
Yeah, they're down to a quarter of 1% now. The Bank of England announcement was accompanied by a package of other measures. Mm-hmm. Governor Mark Carney described it as a big package and said that QE remains part of their policy toolkit. Part. It's sounds like a fundamental, integral part. Iceland also reduced rates by 50 basis points this morning. And the ECB, the European Central Bank, is expected to announce its own measures tomorrow as well. Hours after the BOE rate cut today, the UK announced a £30 billion, that's $39 billion, economic stimulus plan as part of Boris Johnson's finance minister Rishi Sunak's first budget. And EU leaders got a stark warning from ECB Pres Christine Lagarde in a conference call yesterday, where she said failure to act on fiscal stimulus risked the collapse of part of their economies. And of course, again, Melody alluded to this, but in the U.S., details of fiscal response have yet to emerge, despite the rollout of some ideas by Mnuchin today. There appears to be a bipartisan opposition, as I mentioned, to the president's desire for a payroll tax holiday. So we'll see what happens. To date, Congress has approved $8.3 billion in fiscal stimulus as a response to the virus.
And you know, we bring these to you to let you know what people who don't listen to programs like this hear from their financial planners and who they follow. And we'll talk about this when we come back from the break. Please stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Dave Allen. Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Can you share that on air? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Heading into the break, I was just going to make a brief point on this. You know, mainstream media, you hear you have the top stock strategists with the too big to fail, Goldman Sachs. You know, they talk about the longest bull market in American history is going to meet its demise soon, that equities seeing significant losses beyond what they've already suffered over the last 3 weeks. So they come out and they tell you what's going to happen. They know it, but they still tell you to remain calm, and they still can't quite bring themselves to recommend gold and silver, can they? You know, they're still trying to push into other papers, even though they're telling you. And I'm sorry, yeah, you might find a little diamond in the rough, but you got to be pretty lucky. And I'll guarantee you, these financial, you know, like these strategists with too big to fail Goldman Sachs, if they know what that diamond is, it's inside trading, and they're not going to tell you about it unless they need your money. Then they might. But they still can't recommend gold and silver, can they? The easiest, most simplest way to preserve your purchasing power. It's baffling. Well, it isn't, but he also said that he warned that after 11 years, 13% annualized earnings growth and 16% annualized trough to peak appreciation, he believed the S&P bull market will end soon. Jeez. But don't buy gold and silver, Dave. Heavens no. Let's do everything in our power to keep those. Sell your gold and silver to cover your margins, your margin calls. How dumb is that? Go ahead, Dave.
Pretty destructive.
Yes.
I mean, all told, I think they're looking at a decline in the S&P of almost 30%. With today's fall, it's probably down around 20% from its peak, a little over that, into bear market territory, or right there on the edge of it. Sachs is looking for at least another 10% decline. The way it's going, I think some people might consider that a relief, that it's not more than that. Whatever the case, it's a difficult time. And, you know, with earnings certainly to be affected, first quarter earnings for sure, depending on how this virus goes, the second quarter as well. That's going to put further pressure at some point through the end of the second quarter, additional pressure on stock prices. So this thing is far from over, I'm afraid, in terms of its financial impact. So rather than brace, putting your arms over your head and kneeling down, and, you know, like we used to in those civil defense drills in kindergarten, open your eyes and plan. Be prepared. This doesn't have to be the end of the world as we know it.
And, you know, and I do feel sad for those who don't have sick leave. It is a difficult position for those. And, you know, like your frontline workers that serve food, bus drivers, your caretakers for your children. I mean, look at the elderly who run the cash registers in your grocery stores and even Walmart, and I'm not so sure, you know, what their, you know, sick pay would be, if any at all. And do we end up paying and forcing companies to cover sick pay? That could very easily put a strain on their business, and then they end up laying off people. And is it the taxpayer's responsibility to pay the sick leave, and bail out the business in a different way? And yes, you're helping people. That's not what it's about. But we'd be helping these businesses, and it's just another form of bailout. And, you know, Dave, you have a handful of companies like Darden and Uber, Lyft and Instacart. They've been offering some paid sick leave, as you know, but they're big companies. You know, what if the little guy is made to pick up the tab? I mean, I think it's great that these companies are doing that, but to have government force a business to do something, I don't think that's the proper thing to do.
Well, honest people can debate that, I presume, but here's my take on this. I think it's in companies' self-interest to provide their workers with some kind of sick leave to get through this coronavirus impact. Now, it turns out that almost three-quarters of all private sector workers already have some sort of paid sick leave from their employers. Mm-hmm. Almost 90% of professional workers do. But people in sales, 64%. Service jobs, 58%. Those in construction and farming, 56%. The percentage of their benefit is a lot lower. So it just it is debatable, and in fact it may become debatable if Congress and or some state legislatures decide to offer legislation mandating some minimal levels. That can be avoided, but companies have to step up and do the right thing. I don't think it's just a matter of doing the right thing. I think it's the smart thing.
I think the companies that I mentioned, if they stepped up, sure, that's great and that's wonderful. But some companies can't do it. It's difficult for them to do it. They don't have the cash flow to do it. So they become, you know, so again, if they can do it, I think that's great, wonderful, and I pat them on the back. But I don't think I don't think they should be made to cover if they can't afford to cover. Because then they just go out of business and people get laid off. So it's just like, you know, you can go back to the minimum wage. You can argue that, you know, you two things. You increase the minimum wage and people get laid off. Hours are cut. It works fine for your larger Darden restaurants. But, you know, for your smaller mom and pop shops, it's a little more difficult. And, you know, the mom and pop shops then are closed down and so forth. So, I mean, it's, you know, businesses need to do what they do, and they should plan. They should have plans and, you know, somewhere along the line to where they should be able to ride through these types of situations, but most don't. And
We're reading that Congress has no plans to close Melody.
No, that's too bad. Although I thought I'll guarantee you they changed their minds. But there's some the Democratic and Republican leaders on Capitol Hill. They've told lawmakers they have no immediate plans to close Congress. You have a lot of lawmakers fit high risk profiles. I think all of them, most of them, many of them are over 60, have underlying health conditions, and are mixing in close quarters with visitors, staff, reporters, President Trump. I don't know if he canceled any of his rallies. I don't know if he had any scheduled.
Well, he does. He has one next week, we know, with a big Catholic convocation.
But you had Biden and Sanders. They canceled rallies Tuesday in Ohio. So several members of Congress remained under self-quarantine after they came in contact with a CPAC attendee that tested for the virus. But I'll tell you, and I said this to you off air, I'll say this on air. Last night when you had Vice President Pence, you had Larry Kudlow and, you know, a couple of others. I don't know who they were. I didn't pay that much attention to it. But I wondered, where's President Trump? I've never seen any type of a press conference or a media announcement coming from various departments and so forth that President Trump wasn't there. Can you remember one? And I'll tell you what, Larry Kudlow looked... Now, I'm not spreading rumors, ladies and gentlemen. These are just observations. Larry Kudlow, I mean, he could have had a glass of wine, but his cheeks were flushed. He could have had too much rouge on. Maybe his makeup wasn't right, but his cheeks were flushed. He kept looking down. I mean, he was odd. Usually he's just there, very calm, looking straight out into the audience and so forth. His demeanor was totally different last night. He did not look well. And again, I'm not, it's just an observation. But so anyway, Congress is staying open for now.
He's not a good front man if their communication office had any sense. They do whatever they can to keep him off TV.
I agree.
It's interesting. One House aide was reported to have said the Hill may be the worst place in D.C. right now. At least in the airport, half the people aren't shaking hands and talking to each other. Give it a week, and everyone will be walking around in hazmat suits. Another veteran lobbyist added, if all the health warnings are warranted, then a lot of members of Congress may come down with this thing because those guys can't just stop pressing the flesh. It's a different world in the United States Capitol, that's for sure.
Yes. Seattle schools are closing, and Trump is going to address the nation. I guess this has just been released. Trump is going to address the nation tonight. Let me pull this up properly. Oh, come on. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, this thing. Trump will address the nation tonight and finally promises to use the full power of the federal government. That's scary. To tackle coronavirus as WHO declares a pandemic and markets plunge, but says if we get rid of it quickly, everything solves itself. He said in a meeting with the bankers he would be making a statement tonight. He announced his team was putting in place a policy to deal with the disease and create a vaccine. He was expected to speak to the nation from the White House at prime time. I don't see a time. Did I say a time? I'm fully prepared to use the full power. Six lawmakers are under self-quarantine. Let me see if there's anything else. He'll be making a statement later on tonight as to what he's decided to do and what our country will be doing, teasing a primetime address. He said the statement would be at probably 8 o'clock. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. It just really does kind of irritate me. You know, you want to be, you know, make an announcement that you're going to make a, you know, this announcement. It'll probably be around 8 o'clock. You know, teasing a prime time. It just irritates me. Be serious. Let's see if there was anything else out there. So I guess tonight.
There's always Fox Sports 1, ladies and gentlemen, as an alternative.
But no, it'll be an interesting because I'm sure it will give way to what the government will be willing to do and the amount of money that is going to be spent. And so anyway.
Hey, the Navy... has a drone ship, a drone warship, its second, Melody, called Sea Hunter 2, being built and bred for battle, almost ready to be rolled out another couple of months.
What is it?
It's a drone warship. We already have one.
We do?
Yep. Yeah, it's been kept under the radar. They're designed to... you know, hit the open waters without a single crew member.
Wow.
It's essentially like a drone airplane, but on the water.
That really is fascinating.
How about it?
There were so many things we wanted to get to today, and we just didn't get there. But we'll be back tomorrow. Dave and I will be here Friday. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye. Seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.